Morning. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 6. Okay, 1 Kings 6. Now it came about in the 480th year after the sons of Israel came out of the land of Egypt in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. As for the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, its length was 60 cubits, and its width 20 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. And the porch in front of the nave of the house was 20 cubits in length, corresponding to the width of the house, and its depth along the front of the house was 10 cubits. Also, for the house he made windows with artistic frames, and against the wall of the house he built stores encompassing the walls of the house around both the nave and the inner sanctuary. Thus he made side chambers all around. The lowest story was 5 cubits wide, and the middle was 6 cubits wide, and the third was 7 cubits wide. For on the outside he made offsets in the wall of the house all around in order that the beams should not be inserted in the walls of the house. And the house, while it was being built, was built of stone prepared at the quarry, and there was neither hammer nor axe nor any iron tool heard in the house while it was being built. The doorway for the lowest side chamber was on the right side of the house, and they would go up by winding stairs to the middle story and from the middle to the third. So he built the house and finished it, and he covered the house with beams and planks of cedar. He also built the stories against the whole house, each 5 cubits high, and they were fastened to the house with timbers of cedar. Now the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, "Concerning this house which you are building, if you will walk in my statutes and execute my ordinances and keep all my commandments by walking in them, then I will carry out my word with you which I spoke to David your father. And I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel." So Solomon built the house and finished it. Then he built the walls of the house on the inside with boards of cedar from the wall of the house to the ceiling. He overlaid the walls on the inside with wood, and he overlaid the floor of the house with boards of cypress. And he built 20 cubits on the rear part of the house with boards of cedar from the floor to the ceiling. He built them for it on the inside as an inner sanctuary, even as the most holy place. And the house that is on the nave in front of the inner sanctuary was 40 cubits long. And there was cedar on the house within, carved in the shape of gourds and open flowers, all was cedar. There was no stone seen. Then he prepared an inner sanctuary within the house in order to place there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And the inner sanctuary was 20 cubits in length, 20 cubits in width, and 20 cubits in height. And he overlaid it with pure gold. He also overlaid the altar with cedar. So Solomon overlaid the inside of the house with pure gold, and he drew chains of gold across the front of the inner sanctuary, and he overlaid it with gold. And he overlaid the whole house with gold until all the house was finished. Also the whole altar, which was by the inner sanctuary, was overlaid with gold. They also in the inner sanctuary he made 2 cherubim of olive wood, each 10 cubits high. And 5 cubits was the one wing of the cherub, and 5 cubits the other wing of the cherub, and the end of one wing to the end of the other wing were 10 cubits. And the other cherub was 10 cubits. Both the cherubim were in the same measure and the same form. The height of the one cherub was 10 cubits, and so was the other cherub. And he placed the cherubim in the midst of the inner house, and the wings of the cherubim were spread out, that the wing of the one was touching the one wall, and the wing of the other cherub was touching the other wall. So their wings were touching each other in the center of the house. He also overlaid the cherubim with gold. Then he carved all the walls of the house round about with carved engravings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, inner and outer sanctuaries. And he overlaid the floor of the house with gold, inner and outer sanctuaries. And for the entrance of the inner sanctuary, he made doors of olive wood, the lintel and 5-sided doorposts. So he made 2 doors of olive wood, and he carved on them carvings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, and overlaid them with gold, and he spread the gold on the cherubim and on the palm trees. So he also made the entrance of the nave 4-sided doorposts of olive wood and 2 doors of cypress wood. The 2 leaves of the one door turn on pivots, and the 2 leaves on the other door turn on pivots. And he carved on it cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, and he overlaid them with gold evenly applied on the engraved work. And he built the inner court with 3 rows of cut stone and a row of cedar beams. In the 4th year, the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid in the month of Ziv. And in the 11th year, on the month of Bul, which is the 8th month, the house was finished throughout all its parts and according to all its plans. So he was 7 years in building it. Amen. So going back, remember the main theme of this book and throughout the Kings, actually 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, the main theme is God blesses the king and the nation when they keep the covenant. His judgment falls with inevitable certainty on those who disobey his law. And so we'll have that coming up here. And so chapter 6 is the building of the temple. It took most likely 7.5 years, if you actually add all the months that's laid out, about 7.5 years for Solomon to do this. But next chapter, we'll find out that it took 13 years to build his own house. And we'll get to that tomorrow in a bit. But so he gets the temple. Remember, the design and the instructions of the temple actually had come previously. And so most likely the measurement had changed over the period of time when the designs were drawn, and then also to when Solomon is there. So they're using the old measurement. So it's actually a little bigger than you think. But just to give you an idea of the size, number one, it's actually not that big at all. So the inner room, the Holy of Holies, remember it says that it's 20 cubits. In length, 20 cubits in width, 20 cubits in height. That's just 30 feet. And so we're not looking at a huge room per se, and the temple itself is actually not as large as we would think it is. It was compact, but it had there was a specific purpose through this thing. And so all the instructions are there. I mean, just a couple of things to note. It says in verse 7 that while it was being built and was built of stone prepared at the quarry, there was neither hammer nor axe nor any iron tool heard in the house while it was being built. And that goes to the exact specifications of the work. And so you have an idea that these were the best craftsmen that were at work building this temple. So Solomon didn't spare any expense. He had the best guys. And so they came and they basically put this thing together, and it fit so perfectly there was never meant to be any adjustments. It kind of, it has no corresponding significance at all, but it reminds me of these beams that we built here. And if you look at it, it's very specific. They come in different parts, and the architect, they were quite nervous because, you know, it was made in the workshop. They brought it here, and if you notice when you walk in, it's supposed to point to the cross. It's, you know, the same color, the same idea, and so the focal point of the sanctuary is the cross, but it was the beams coming together, and all those the ones in the middle are actually joints that connect the sides together. And obviously they were quite nervous, and they're thinking, oh, if it's off just by a little bit, I mean, the whole structure doesn't look right, it doesn't make any sense. But praise God, they also had skilled craftsmen, and so when they came together, actually every joint, every piece actually fit perfectly. To go to that idea. Now we have precision instruments, computer drawings and all these things. These guys did this by hand. And that was the skill by which these craftsmen operated in. In fact, there's other passages that tell us that the craftsmen actually were filled by the Holy Spirit. And they moved in divine power and divine wisdom, and not just their own natural abilities. In other words, God took their natural abilities, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and it became supernatural. You know, in essence, that's kind of what we want, isn't it? You know, every single one of us, you know, we may have a natural ability towards something, but we want the Holy Spirit to empower that, and it becomes something that goes beyond. Regardless of what profession that you're in, is if you're a banker, a doctor, or a lawyer, or a teacher, God has given you natural abilities, but the idea is that God would bless that, God would anoint you, God would fill you with the Spirit, and that which is natural becomes supernatural. And I'm not talking about spiritual gifts. That's a whole other thing altogether. But I'm just God empowering us to do this. So they're building this whole thing. He lays it with gold. I mean, can you imagine? This is the most beautiful structure altogether that's laid out. And if you have any idea, you know, our church name comes from this structure. We are Solomon's Porch, which is throughout the text is known as Solomon's Portico. In certain translations, obviously, porch sounds a lot better than portico. That's why we're not known as Solomon's Portico or Solomon's Porch in this regard. And there's a lot of significance to that. I don't have time to go into that this morning. But if you're interested, there's an old sermon online. And the sermon says, Why Solomon's Porch? And I go through the history of the portico, what it means to us, what it means spiritually, what it meant back then. And you get an idea that God had really given us a prophetic name in this regard. And I mean, just to give you a little taste, part of Solomon's porch was also known as the court of Gentiles. And this is the area that actually non-Jews can come and kind of listen to the message, listen to the rabbi's teaching, and listen to the reading of the scroll and these type of things. And so if you get an idea of like the Ethiopian eunuch that came in, he most likely obviously was not allowed to go in. He heard at the court of Gentiles. And so the idea, and when Jesus comes in, and remember, when he comes into the temple, they were selling merchandise, and actually in this place. And he says something really specifically. He says, my house should be a house of prayer for all nations. And what that meant was, it was really part of the call of the Israelites to be a blessing to the world. That was one aspect. And by the way, they're not doing a very good job of that, by the way. The other part, too, was that this area was for the blessing of all the nations. And thus you see why Jesus, you know, knocked tables over and kicked people out and, you know, said this is, you're turning this into a den of thieves. And this is my Father's house, you know, a house of prayer for all nations. But part of that, and what I believe the theological significance of that place and the name for us, it's really a place where everyone can hear the gospel. It's a place where everyone can come and receive the word of the Lord. And we, obviously, our vision as a church is that, you know, anyone could come to SP and hear the gospel. And hopefully, through the messages, that they're not, you know, too full of religious lingo and these things. And you'll notice that when I do teach, that if I use some religious lingo, I'll make sure that I spend time explaining it to people so that they can understand, this is that, but this is actually what it means, and, you know, bring it down, because this is a house of prayer for all nations. In other words, there should be no barrier for people to be able to hear the gospel. And so that's why we chose the name that we chose. Okay, that's a Lord thing. If you want to hear the full version, go online and find the message. It's probably like, I'd say maybe 2005 or 2006 or something to that effect. But let me focus on this. Now, verse 11, in the midst of this, and this was a really, really good word. In the midst of this, the word of the Lord came to Solomon, most likely through a prophet. And so prophet probably came and reminded Solomon, reminded him, number one, of his father David and the way that David lived his life. And if you would follow along David, there'll be blessing for you. But also, too, to remind them that just because you built a building, it doesn't guarantee the presence of the Lord. It's powerful. Just because you built a building, just because the Lord's instruments are now cared for, not in a tent, but in a building, that actually does not secure the presence of the Lord. Do you know what secures the presence of the Lord in the life of the Israelites and in the life of believers today? It's obedience. Look what he says. Concerning this house which you are building, if you have your Bible, circle that word if, right? Even if you have a church Bible, everyone reading it afterwards should understand this. If you will walk in my statutes and execute my ordinances and keep all my commandments by walking them, then I will carry out my word with you, which I spoke to David your father. And I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built the house and finished it. It's powerful. What is the guarantee of the presence of the Lord in our life? It's following God. It's following God. It's not relying on past accomplishments. I find too many Christians these days are relying, I'll say it this way, they're trying to seek or trying to receive present day presence of God by relying on past obedience. In other words, you know, I obeyed the Lord 10 years ago, right? You know, or in my own life, yeah, my wife and I, we obeyed the Lord 14 years ago. We moved to Hong Kong. But today, we're not really obeying the Lord, but I still want God's presence today. You know, I read the Bible 6 years ago. It was awesome. I had an encounter with God, and so thus God should bless me today in that regard. Or I witnessed to somebody 6 years ago. I don't know who's witnessing anyone today, but I did that. Oh yeah, I did that. I went on a mission trip 18 years ago. And so we rely on today, or we want today's blessing based on yesterday, or not even yesterday, years before, on our obedience then. And brothers and sisters, man, let me tell you straight up, His mercies are new every morning. It's every single one of us. I mean, God's faithfulness is there for us, but every one of us, we walk every day in obedience. There's too many Christians, too many people in the church that are banking on yesterday's obedience. You know what that is? I'll use R.T. Kendall's line. That's yesterday's man. That's yesterday's man. That's not tomorrow's man. And so the word, I mean, think how powerful this is. In the midst of building the house, the prophet comes and say, hey guys, this does not guarantee His presence. What guarantees His presence is your continual obedience. And you know why this was such a powerful word? Because remember what happened in Beth Shemesh? Just not even a generation before, really rings true to these guys. In other words, remember they were losing the fight? They were losing the battle, and so they decided to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the battle. And remember what happened that day? Hophni and Phinehas die, and then the Ark of God is taken, and thousands of soldiers die and are captured. That happens there, and they thought, man, if we just had the Ark, if the Ark of God came with us, we would win. And that didn't happen at all. In fact, they lost, and the Ark of God was taken. Thus, and then, and then that was the end of Eli's life after he hears. Remember, and then the wife dies, also giving birth, and he says, I want you to name our son, and names him Ichabod, which means no glory. In other words, the glory of God has departed Israel. And they recognize that happened. And so there's a steady reminder, oh, we thought that if we brought the Ark, the resting present glory of God, we would have victory. We would have God's presence. But that wasn't the case at all. Because in essence, they were acting in some kind of disobedience in that regard. And I think in that chapter, when I was talking about it, we need to be careful that we don't, we can place our faith in the God of the Ark, but instead these guys place their faith on the Ark of God instead. And just that little adjustment caused calamity to happen. And so he tells these guys, listen, just because you have a building now, just because you have a place for the Ark of the Covenant, does not guarantee the presence of the Lord. What guarantees the presence of the Lord or the effectual hand of God on a people is faithful obedience. So let's close our eyes. How about us today? How about you and I? Are we relying on yesterday's work? Or last year's faithfulness, our faithfulness? When's the last time you had an encounter with God? Don't be yesterday's man or woman. His invitation to us is new every day. Faithful obedience is what He desires. And as the worship team leads us in a song, let's just meditate on that. Thank you. Let's pray this morning. Let's not rely on yesterday's obedience. Let's be faithful today. Don't put your faith in what you did 10 years ago, that one time that you obeyed God. Obey God today. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family members that are battling through cancer and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling with illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing and pray that God would reveal himself to them. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illness. So let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our friends looking for work, and let's pray for God's open door and his provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Singapore and Indonesia this morning. Let's pray for Pastor Sam Kim, pray for our church in Singapore. Ask the Lord's hand to be upon them as they continue to reach out in the nation and continue to grow. Let's pray for Indonesia. Let's pray for the country. Let's also pray for SPIN. Pray for Pastor Selamat, his ministry. There's also a mission trip coming up soon into Indonesia and Kupang. Let's pray for God's hand to be with the team, and they would really do amazing things for the Lord. Let's lift up these two countries, ask for Holy Spirit to move upon them. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries. And let's pray for IP, the well and the river. Let's pray for our leaders and our volunteers, our prayer warriors. Pray for covering. Pray that there will be really a spirit of wisdom and revelation would come over them as they pray, as they minister healing, as they just seek God's face on behalf of the ministry. Pray for our education ministries. Let's pray for Pastor Mary and Yiling, for PNAID and Pastor Andrew and the youth and SPU. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for all of our teachers and volunteers. Pray for our students, obviously, that they would draw closer to the Lord. And our education ministries would just be the place where people grow. Pray for our Thursday outreaches. Let's pray for SP Lights and the Homie Outreach tonight. Let's pray for the presence of God to be with our volunteers as they go, and pray that they would really encounter the Lord, and people that they would encounter would also encounter Him. Let's pray for our house churches tonight, Elements and Olympic. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to be with our leaders and our hosts, and that people would gather together and they would really encounter the Lord together. Father, thank you. God, thank you for the word today, Lord. And we must make sure that, God, that we're not enamored by the building and the structure, God, even that Solomon builds, Lord, even with all the gold and everything, God, and impressive, Lord, God. But what's more impressive, God, is your presence. And we know that where your glory dwells, God, that you are there in your power. Help us to be people that are obedient, God, that are faithful to you. Lord, we don't rely on yesterday's obedience, God, but we're faithful to you today. And so we thank you. In that same way, God, we also are not crippled by yesterday either. Your mercies are new every morning, God. Lord, great is your faithfulness. And so thank you. We love you, God. Watch over us today. Help us to be obedient to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.